This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, it's another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Ulscher. Man, I'm super excited today. We got another full house, which is awesome. I love when we have in-studio guests. It's definitely more fun. Not that we don't love our call-ins, don't get me wrong. But Jesus, if you're in L.A., I love you, Christine. That was a great show. But come on, just drive down from L.A. I mean, really, it's not that far.
Well, she was a great interview.
She was a great interview. If she was in person, she would have been even better.
Because they miss seeing us goofballs in person with our facial expressions and the whole dynamo.
Right. And you two can look. So we got Matt Browning in the house right now. Which, welcome, Matt. How you doing, man?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me out. Awesome.
Did you drive down?
I did.
He did.
In the rain.
How was it?
It was amazing. Only a few extra accidents than I expected. Not a big deal.
All right. So if you had to choose one song about rain that you were singing like over and over again, what would be your rain song?
My rain song.
Yeah.
Rain and Men, probably, I guess.
Ooh, it's Raining Men. Hallelujah.
Oh, man. The most embarrassing song I could ever come up with.
Matt.
Ooh.
Purple Rain.
There's a good rain song. Purple Rain. I like that. You know, and Rich, your song was, what was the song you were singing? What was the one again?
Oh, From the Dream?
From the Dream, yeah.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
See, Rich is our in-house entertainment here for singing. So whenever we have a song, we just push it over. Actually, Mary, you can sing. Mary's got a really good singing voice. You don't sing nearly enough for us. We're going to have to get
you
to sing.
I'm not going to pull off Prince or whatever his name is now.
I think it's just a symbol now. Or did he go back to...
It's not very good for radio, I don't think.
The symbol, trying to, yeah.
Our guest is,
right, yeah. Symbol dude thingy. And speaking of which, what the hell ever happened to that guy? My God, he just fucked enough women, he decided I'm done with my life. Well, what? It's true. I mean, my God. Like the 70s, 80s, 90s, like the guy, I mean, true story. He had a concert in Chicago, and my best friend's wife is a singer. And... you know, an aspiring one, you know, want to be a pop singer, the whole nine. And they got tickets to see Prince, huge Prince fan, got tickets to see Prince, got passes to the after party at, this is kind of dating myself here, but this was back when the China Club was around. Did they have an LA China Club? Do you remember?
That was in the 80s.
Is that is that an app or something?
Yes,
right.
An app.
Right.
So it was a club in Chicago called the China Club. The big deal back then, big space. Prince had this this whole section of the clubs for himself. Saw my friend's wife and was just like, you know, hey, come on in, you know, come on, talk.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, right. I know. And just, can I buy you a drink? But anyway, long story short, like, I shit you not, he was completely all over her with him, my friend, right there. And of course, you know, he kind of stepped in, my friend, and was just, you know, kind of like giving him the eye, like, I don't care who you are, little man. You know, you're going to get, because he's a little man. He's a little man. I don't know who you think you are, little man. By the way, if you want to hear something like really, really funny, there's a documentary called Little Man, where this guy literally took recordings of his neighbors for years. And there were two roommates. Did you ever hear this, Rich?
No. It sounds funny,
two roommates, though. And like they would just yell at each other. Two guys, and I will kill you, little man. And like this is like it's just like for years he's got all of these recordings of that. Anyway, but
that was a weird side.
But true Prince story. He, you know, he was a little bit of a
he's a Minnesotan.
Womanizer. And
First Avenue.
And is your state proud or not proud
at
of
the time?
That?
I think we were.
Yeah. And now, not so much.
No,
it's like Bill Cosby. Oh, yeah, we're in the home of Bill Cosby. Now they're like, oh, shit. I told you about my favorite Bill Cosby meme, right? Do you remember my Bill Cosby meme? Did I share this with you?
No.
My favorite Bill Cosby, you remember this one?
Yeah, you did. You told us, man.
Okay,
yeah,
well, I don't listen to half of what he says.
That's true. So my favorite Bill Cosby meme ever is, it's like he's got that smiley face, you know, that big, huge smiling grin with that box of Jell-O pudding.
Oh, that's
right. You know, and it says, you know, basically it's that picture at the top. It just says, you know, I love pudding. And at the bottom it says, put in my dick where it doesn't belong.
Come on.
Oh, sorry, Matt. You actually had people who you had tune into this. So I saw the email go out. So thank you for that.
Oh, it's great.
And
I can't
wait. We just...
You might want
to... You're like, what did I tune into?
We just lost to... So here's a great thing. So did you listen to a episode of Reinvention Radio before you committed to this?
I remember you saying something about Howard Stern meets personal development. Exactly. And I was like, all right.
How bad could it be? How bad could it be? It's Steve. I know you, man. Well, let's just go hang out for a while. It's like, Uber. Maybe I can get an Uber out of here and it'll take me an hour and a half to get home now.
I hope the monitor is off in the green room.
Pirates of the Caribbean, my nine-year-old is in the other room right now watching Pirates of the Caribbean. I turn that volume up so damn loud. It's like every explosion. You know how like we've been sitting here wondering what that noise is, like feeling the every explosion we can hear all the way here in the studio. That's how loud it
so
is in there.
He
can't hear me. That's pure strategy. All right, so Matt Browning in the house. Yay. Welcome, my man. Welcome.
Thank you. And can't wait to get into it.
You're already too far deep into it now.
So for those who don't know you, give us the Matt Browning story. Like, what are you doing? I mean, obviously you're into a whole bunch of different things. And even reading your bio, I thought I knew you. But clearly I don't know very much about you. I was like, man, I am glad I read this. Now I feel like I know you a lot more.
You read?
You know what? Occasionally. It's on audiobook. Even like the things that I get sent by email. I get my email read to me.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
That's really good.
So, all right. So, Matt Browning, the story. I want it.
Okay. So, first, before we start that, you still owe me a motorcycle ride.
I do.
We had planned this thing for
And you owe me a mustache ride.
Well, let's see about that.
It's raining men.
Go back to the Howard Stern story.
Oh, man.
He says, go ahead and turn your speaker down to the ground and go ahead and sit on that.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Yes,
but we did plan this for like 2 months, and then we had like one date that both of our schedules finally lined up. I'm in Orange County. You're San Diego. An hour away. Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
But then it rains that day.
It does. The one day.
God shined down on us and said,
you guys are not riding.
Yeah.
Did you ride down or did you drive down?
Oh, I drove down.
You drove down. Okay. Yeah. Smart.
Yeah. Really smart. Good. Motorcycle in the rain.
Diehard motorcycle folks. They don't care.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I had buddies in Chicago who would ride when it was 20 degrees. I'm not that diehard. I'm like, fuck it. I'll just drive. It's not that big of a deal. I don't need to get frostbite today. And, you know, you're driving, the windshield's below zero. All right. So, yes, we have a motorcycle date. We will get to that.
Coming up.
Okay. So, now, that's off the table. So, we got that down. Now, give us the Matt Browning thing for those who don't know you.
So the real quick Matt Browning thing is I've been teaching in personal development, which is basically how to make yourself awesome, for the last decade. And I learned from one of the best, Tony Robbins. So I saw him in 2002, guy with the big teeth, big hands, huge head. If you haven't seen him before, huge head. Everyone knows Tony. And I say that endearing. I love him. And, you know, after learning all the patterns behind why people do what they do, eventually I just realized, man, I got to get out of this real estate industry I'd been in for years. Mm. And nothing wrong with that, right? It was great, but I just was feeling like every day I'm like, I just don't love this anymore. I just don't care about it anymore.
Now, you had done really well for a while in real estate, right? I mean,
I made my first million by 25 through investing, and also had three different businesses doing real estate and sales, and then we also did mortgages, of course, and then also financial investments and trusts and all sorts of things like that. And I just kind of started getting out there. I had the right mentors early on and just figured out that side of things, but really quickly it got really boring, which sounds weird, but it was like, oh no, poor me, all this money. But it sounds like this, like such a dumb story on one side. But I think if someone's been to the top, and you know, you've been so successful in so many different ways, you know, Steve, like you start getting somewhere and you realize, gosh, like now that I don't have to worry about eating or putting gas in my car or those types of things, then you start having the other questions, which is
that's when money doesn't matter. It's like,
well, it's weird,
you
know, right?
Nobody needs money. Of course you don't need money. You have money. It's like, those are the people who have that conversation. It's always kind of like, you know, money isn't important while you get in your Ferrari and drive away. It's like,
easy
come
for
on,
you to
man.
Say.
Right, easy for you to say. But it wasn't all like, you know, flowery sunshine and happily ever after. You actually had a setback or two.
Here's the funny thing, right? Like everything is perfect, and anyone who's like, I know you probably, I'm guessing you probably have a few people listening that are into personal development or have attended, you know, educational seminars or that sort of thing, or maybe in the coaching industry, and everyone seems to have this trailer park story, right? And I kind of do, except for I wasn't in a park. I was in my friend's driveway in his trailer, living there for
you had to borrow the trailer for the trailer park story.
In someone else's driveway.
Unfortunately, that's a true story.
It's a borrowed trailer in a borrowed driveway for the trailer story.
But that's where our story went. Is I literally was like on top of the financial world as far as I was concerned, right?
Sure.
I know people were way better off than I was, but I had all my needs taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I started diving into what do I really want to do with my life? And I was like, I'm going to be a coach. It's going to be amazing. I saw Tony Robbins on stage. I'll do what he does.
Right.
So he had 6,000 people. I put on my first seminar. Massive success. There were 6 people.
Nice.
Yeah. Two of them were my parents.
It had a 6 in it. So that's, you know, that's a step
missing
in the right
zeros.
Direction. So
yeah.
2 were your parents. Nice.
Right. But and that's true. That's what happened. And at the end, I was like, gosh, I don't know how to do this as a living, but I sure like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next 2 years, I basically sacrificed everything and said, I'm just going to follow this dream. And man, I spent a lot of money putting on a lot of seminars and doing coaching and really didn't make any money there.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, I found myself living in my buddy's trailer and I didn't blow through all my money, but it was gone.
Wow.
Because I wasn't working real estate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I let houses go that I shouldn't have. And, you know, I won't blame the economy. This is nearly 10 years ago.
Sure.
I just decided I don't care about the whole life. I just want to change lives. I want to care about people. And, you know, after about 2 years and I finally like catch a break and realize how to bring those worlds together, right?
Mm-hmm.
How to actually, you know, say, I don't need to run away from business. That makes sense. I know a lot of coaching type people will run away from business and they run towards trying to help everyone.
Sure.
And what I realize is like, this is a business like any other business,
yep.
No matter what you're doing,
yep.
Except for I get to go on stage and speak instead of selling tires.
Very cool, man. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 866-977-2346. Hit number 1. We'll be back with Matt Browning here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Full House, Mary Goulet. Yay. How are you, Mary?
Doing great.
You are. And I was thinking about this, and Rich Rotati and White Wade and Kelly and the whole crew was hanging out as well. I was thinking about it, like, now that we got Matt in studio, so we got Matt Browning in studio today, I was looking at your eyes, and I was looking at Matt's eyes, and I was thinking, like, you two could just gaze at each other's baby blues. Just, it's so, you
mine
guys,
are
you guys,
hazel.
I thought you guys had the nicest eyes. It's so, that's you're why so I like having people in the studio. So, yeah, when you're not here, you know who sits in that chair?
Wade.
Wade!
That's not working.
That's not working at all.
It's raining, man.
I was just going to beat me.
And then there's Rich, who I love looking at. But, you know, you guys got this baby blue thing going. And it's like, yeah, I love it. All right. Very nice. All right. So let's do this, man, because you have got a pretty interesting basis for the work that you do, which is, you know, a lot of what you teach, obviously, is around communication and business and so on. But it really is built from the foundation of NLP, right?
Yep.
So was Tony Robbins the first one to introduce you to the whole concept of NLP, or were you familiar with it before you went to that event in 2002, you said?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was the first time I got introduced to it. It's neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. It's been around since the early 70s, and Tony was one of the first trainers in there. Mm-hmm. Not one of the first, but, you know, in the first, you know, 5 to 10 years. And in the late 70s, early 80s, he really started popularizing it with the seminars.
Sure.
So I'd never heard of it before, and I didn't know what he was doing, but when I saw him on stage, like, reprogramming people and changing their behaviors and thought patterns and stuff, I looked up, like, what was he doing, and it turns out it was this NLP stuff. So I had to go get trained.
So it's a very specific process. So when he works with people, when you work with people, when other NLP practitioners work with people, you are taking them through a specific kind of line of communication, a line of thinking. What does that look like? Like, in action, what does NLP look like? And what can it do? Like, what can the benefits of NLP, talk about some of the results.
Awesome. So first, let me give you a quick little like metaphor. Like, imagine NLP is not so much a process, but it's more like a recipe box. So you have this huge, like, your old grandmother used to have, like, this old huge Betty Crocker recipe box that had all the different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to bake a pie versus you want to, like, mix a drink, two totally different results.
And if you want to mix a drink, you know where you go, right?
Steve Olscher's house.
Liquor.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Shameless. Right?
Shameless plug. So but you have these different recipes. So essentially what NLP really is saying, you know, what's the result that I want to get? And I don't care if you want to be a great parent, you want to learn how to snowboard 10 times faster than you normally would, or you want to start a business, or you want to learn how to public speak. I mean, literally any result you want. NLP is a process of saying, how do I get a recipe for this so I can do it faster, easier, and with better results?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. It's a mindset and a process.
Can you explain, okay, neuro-linguistic programming. So what would be, like, one of the recipe cards?
I know, right?
Right? So pick something, Steve.
Okay, so I want to be, I want to lose 10 pounds.
You want to lose 10 pounds?
Yeah, so, like, there are people out there who feel like they got 10 pounds too much. I've tried everything. I go to the gym. I eat good. I just can't get rid of that 10 pounds.
Eat potato chips during the radio show.
Oh, is that a problem? I'm not supposed to. Thank you, by the way, to our sponsor, Lay's Potato Chips, for the sour cream and onions. And today we have salt and vinegar. So thank you for that.
they do crunch too much. Yeah.
So, okay. So, like, for somebody who wants
to lose 10 pounds.
So somebody wants to lose 10 pounds. Is that a decent example? Is that,
it's a great example.
It is. Okay. So yeah, NLP could be used for that. Okay. So what do you do?
Okay. So let me give you an example about that. So there's external and internal strategies. So meaning, like, you know what external strategies to do. External meaning, what do you eat? How do you move your body? Do you get up in the morning? Do you exercise? Do you stretch? Do you eat McDonald's or do you go to have salads? I don't know anyone who thinks that a quarter pounder of cheese with a Diet Coke is health food, right? I just don't think that's the case. So we all know externally what to do.
It's not?
Correct.
And beer is food.
It's got hops in it. Isn't that like a food something
that's
or another?
It's a vegetarian too, if you think about it.
It is a vegetarian meal. Okay, so, all right. So
we understand the externals.
Right.
But the so
it's
the Diet Coke.
Internal that gets us.
The Diet Coke doesn't set off the quarter. I thought that would balance. That doesn't balance the quarter pounder if you have a Diet Coke.
Did you know they're doing labeling? No, this is a side thing. They're going to put labels, right, on food products that show you someone biking, someone running, and someone swimming, and telling you how long you have to do one or all of those activities to burn off that Big Mac.
Wow.
Man, that's a great idea.
Or anything else you
buy. I
love
that idea.
It's not going to change anything, but it's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, so let me tell you this, right?
Yeah, like, please.
So
whether external, internal.
Well, yeah, and you're eating. Smoking's a good example, right? Like, whatever you think about smoking, but I don't know anyone who
Did
thinks
you bring
it's
some?
A healthy
I'm,
thing.
I'm ready. What do you?
That's what we're talking about. But
oh,
no.
Yes.
But
we
I don't
will
know,
get
where?
To that recipe
where?
Card at some point.
it's recipe card. Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know anyone who thinks smoking is a healthy thing, right? But we try to tell people, hey, you know those things will kill you. That's a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
You've never told that to someone and had them come to you and go, oh my gosh, seriously? Thank you so much for telling me. I'm going to put that out right now. I had no, right? So we know what's healthy, what's not healthy. We know what's good, what's not good in life for the most part. Where NLP comes in is all of the internal processes we do that help us decide what we're going to do. So we go through a few things. One is mental, one is emotional, and one is physiological. So there's three simple things we do. When I take NLP and take a recipe card, let's say the 10 pounds, I'm going to say, okay.
Wait, did you say mental, emotional, and physiological?
Physiological.
Aren't those the same things?
You would think.
Those are all the same things, no?
But completely and totally not.
Wow. Okay. So okay, here we go. This. I'm ready.
And you've been married how long?
mental, emotional, physiological.
Right. I know you're mental, but let's get to the next part.
Oh, mental. Damn it. Got to move beyond step one. Yes.
So your mental is your thought patterns, and I think that's pretty straightforward. So the things you say to yourself, the things you habitually think, and the things you automatically react by thinking, right? Someone cuts you off. Some people go, oh, poor guy. Most people go, you son of a... And they have this initial thought right away that brings them into positive, negative state. And ultimately, whatever state you're in is going to determine how you behave. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Whenever anybody cuts me off in traffic, you know what I think? I think that guy has got to get home quick to beat off. That's like the first. That's like exactly what I think.
How
like,
do you even because come with this stuff?
The best theme ever.
Oh my gosh!
He's like he's in a hurry. He's got to get home. I mean, you know, he's got the picture on Twitter or whatever he's looking at. He's
but
I bet
that thought process changes your state, doesn't it? It probably makes you smile and laugh.
It does exactly. Otherwise, I would get out of the car and shoot him.
Yeah,
it's raining, man.
Do you hear what I put up with?
I'm so sorry.
Right?
I'm so sorry.
Wherever two or more men are gathered. What age are they?
12. Ish. All right, right there. Nice.
Yeah.
12-ish. Okay, so mental, got right. it.
So mental is your thought patterns. So here's the cool thing. You have conscious thought patterns that you think about, that you like plan on thinking about, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get up and pray today, so I'm going to pray. Or I'm going to get up and really try to make it my sale, so I'm going to think to myself, I can really do this, and then that's conscious. But the unconscious ones, the ones that happen automatically, are way more important. NLP is dealing with different recipe cards or processes that would shift the automatic thoughts, the automatic emotional reactions, right? Mm-hmm. Driving in traffic's a great example. I mean, I was driving in traffic on the way down.
Yeah.
There was a random like a car turned backwards on the carpool lane, right? Damn. So I was like 3 minutes late coming in. I'm like, there was an extra accident I didn't think about.
Yeah.
I thought I planned enough, but didn't.
Yeah.
But as you're driving along and you're in that kind of like, you know, traffic, some people react automatically feeling like, oh man, I hope everything's okay, or just neutral. But you can also have an automatic reaction, meaning before you even think about it, that's really, really full of emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Full of scared or full of anger, full of guilt, you know, all sorts of different feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's physiological patterns. Quick example, like if you wanted to get depressed, it's not too hard to get depressed. In fact, there's
just
a pattern.
Just hang out with me. I mean, I suck the life out of every room I walk into.
I think it's the exact opposite with you, Steve, because I get around and I realize how great my life really is.
Oh, that's so sweet.
When I see yours, and I get really happy about that.
Aw, thank you for that. That's awesome. That was a backhanded compliment.
It totally
I'm crying
was,
over
yeah.
here. Yeah, I caught that.
Oh, good.
Do you want me to pot him down?
Yeah, no, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm glad I make you feel better about your life. So physiological.
Yeah. Going to Walmart when you see Steve. So good. So physiological patterns, right?
Yeah.
So if I said everyone get depressed, in fact, you guys want to try it?
Sure.
Just try this just for a second. I want you.
I don't
see
even have to try.
No, this is going
to
be crazy. But just try it for a second.
Okay.
Just pretend or act as if you're getting depressed right now. Everybody, go. Now, if you're driving or listening to this, don't do that right now because pay attention. But everyone just get depressed and do whatever you have to do to feel like you're really starting to feel kind of bad. And you can't see in the radio station, but what just happened is all three of you at once looked down. You all got this little grimace on your face. You all kind of hunched your shoulders. And I'll bet your breathing changed a little bit too.
Slow down.
Right. And now if I said, just real quick, just think of something that's really exciting. Go. Whatever it would take to be excited right now. Now, at first it feels fake, but then you realize it's not really fake because if you smile and you feel good, it's just feeling good.
God, you know what's so sad? I had no problem being depressed. When he asked me to think about being excited, I couldn't think of anything to get excited about. That is so sad. I'm going to go in a corner and cry.
You and every other human, right? I'll do this exercise.
I don't know what I'm going to be excited about.
We'll do an exercise at a seminar where I say, like, write down, like, on one side of the column of the page and the other, write down all the emotions you experienced last week that are, like, happy, positive emotions. And they're like, all right, and they write these. And then write on the other side, the negative ones. And people on average will have 5 times more negative emotions than they have positive emotions that they experience on a regular basis.
Yeah. You want to do a fun trick with that one?
Sure.
In what I do sort of the same thing. So like what's the opposite of anger, right? It's like happy. What's the opposite of depressed? It's like, you know, excited. What's the opposite of, you know, whatever it might be. Like, so you put that on the left side, put the other things on the right side. And then you ask them the question. It's like, so what does it cost you to live on the left side of the column? You know, let's just do it this way. Like happy, you know, excited, this, that,
sure.
What does it cost you to live on the left side of the column? Well, the answer is, well, it doesn't cost me anything to live on the left side of the column. Well, what does it cost you when you live on the right side of the column with the depressed and this and the other? And the answer is, it costs you everything.
Right.
Right? And to get from one side to the other, you know, it's really just a mental switch.
Well, this is what's crazy. Mental, emotional, physiological. And you can change it with any one of those three, right? So I'll tell people, get depressed, and then look up, put a stupid grin on your face, And it sounds like a silly little childhood thing, but if you just do this and you have this big stupid grin with teeth, yeah, you cannot get you can't feel depression. Right. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
You can't get there from here when you change one of the elements.
Yeah, it's true. Tony Robbins did that in one of these things. This girl was like so depressed, and he was like, okay, tell yourself you're depressed. And like this funny, like, oh, I'm so depressed. And like she started cracking up in like no time. Okay, so totally. Everything.
Well, we still have to figure out how to lose 10 pounds.
We still have to figure out. Right, I'm still fat. Okay, so more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Joined in the studio today by Matt Browning. Yay!
Yay!
So glad you are here. And before the break, we were talking about all sorts of interesting things around NLP in terms of, you know, and even like, how do I lose some weight? And so I'm still fat. So we need to
get back to read that recipe card.
Yeah, we need to get to the right recipe card because you're like Betty Crocker here. We got to pull out the right thing. So just out of curiosity, eating a bowl of raw cookie dough from that recipe box, that's probably not going to further or forward my efforts to lose the 10 pounds.
Correct. No. That, okay. That is a reverse strategy. That's not useful.
That is the opposite. That's not useful at all.
So where's the magic in the NLP?
Where's the magic?
Right? Addressing something like weight loss. Because those things we work against ourselves.
Absolutely.
We can't sustain that willpower.
So, yeah, and that's exactly the right word to use. So willpower, right? The difference is willpower resides in the conscious mind. Now, there's obviously two parts of the mind. There's a conscious, there's a subconscious, right? Subconscious, the easiest way to think about it is it's just the part of your mind you're not aware of. That's all it is, right? So it's the part of your mind that beats your heart 100,000 times a day, breathes you while you sleep, that thinks those thoughts that you're not thinking about, pays attention to how your feet feel right now against your shoes. You probably weren't noticing it until I mentioned it, right?
Right.
The part of your mind that pays attention to your breathing. And all of a sudden, you're focused on your breathing again. Now it's conscious. A minute ago, it was subconscious.
Correct.
Okay. So easy as that. So consciously, you can have willpower. Humans can do anything, right? You can have willpower and say, you know what? I'm just not going to eat this Twinkie today, and you won't. But over time, willpower has to be focused on. And if you ever get distracted, overwhelmed, or you get in some kind of a negative state, usually the first thing that goes out the door is willpower.
Yeah. Are you spying on me, by the way? Because what you just described is like my life right there.
Welcome to your life.
Welcome to my life.
And everybody else's. Right. Humanity has not changed in thousands of years, and every one of us is basically exactly the same in one way or another.
So do you believe that it's possible then to be like one of those happy people, like who's just happy all the time? Is that a myth or is that like even possible?
So if you think a lot, you're probably not going to be happy all the time. But yeah. I do believe you can be in control of your circumstances. You can change. If you don't want to be pissed off, sad, whatever, you can change it.
Mm-hmm.
What I found is that most people who are like generally like depressed, mad, angry, whatever, a lot, if you really get down to it, at some level they want to be there. There's something they get from that. And that's a whole different recipe card, and we can get to that too. But 10 pounds.
There's a payoff.
Dude, I want to get to the 10.
Sorry, 10 pounds. Yes, sorry. Go.
Therapists call it secondary gain, right? A positive benefit for a negative behavior.
Nice. Story of my life. That would be the subtitle right there of my book. That's the you potted me down.
No, me.
Oh.
Subtitle for liquor.com. Right?
All right, 10 pounds.
So 10 pounds. So let's look at this. Here's what I want you to think about, right? If you're listening to this, and for all three of you, if you have whatever, 10 pounds or whatever it is, think of it like this. What is one behavior that you know if you started doing this more or doing this at all, you know it would make a significant difference and significant change to your body? Pick one behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it.
Damn okay. It.
Literally.
Say something.
Like say something out loud.
Speak. All right. So my no, Rich, you go first. I got to think. Yours is going to be better than mine. I'm going to cheat.
No, I was going to say change our sponsor from Lay's.
That's probably a good idea. So stop the 64-ounce bag of...
Yeah. So like lift weights.
Lift weights. Okay, good. So you need to lift weights, and right now you're either not or you're not doing it enough. Fair?
Correct.
Okay. Richard, you need to stop eating Lay's.
Lay's.
Good, okay. Yeah.
And I think for me, I just, I really need to stop eating those, what is that? It's like, that tube. It's a tube of, Toll House. No, of, that tube, but the tube of the Toll House raw cookie dough. I can't help myself.
Oh, you were kidding.
No. Oh you my
really
God.
Do?
I'm glad
oh,
you didn't go to the Shaniqua story.
Oh man. The Shaniqua story. Oh man. Listen to the 100th episode on that one.
Do you just like hold it like a big sausage and just like take a big bite out of it? Or
like literally just get like a spoon. I don't even like, I just cut off the top. And then I just dig down. No, just dig down with the spoon until, like, you know, it gets all over your hands.
You can get E. coli.
Unbelievable.
No, you can't. I am living proof you cannot get E. coli.
Yet.
Okay, so I got to stop eating the raw cookie dough. Got
it. Okay, good. So everyone has a behavior to alter or to start, stop, or change, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple ways to look at it. So what we want to do is find an unconscious pattern and change the trigger to that unconscious pattern, okay? There's a trigger that starts that. So at some point, Steve is not eating raw cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, you're not eating it, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know you're not. But at some point, what'll happen is you'll get home, and then you'll like be doing something, not thinking about raw cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then minutes go by, and all of a sudden, you find yourself thinking about it.
I haven't had raw cookie dough for about 6 minutes. And then
an image pops in your head, or you say a thought to yourself, or you see something, or you get a certain feeling in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So one of those things, you see, hear, or feel something around the environment.
Yep.
That's what we call the trigger.
I see the refrigerator.
That's probably it. No, that's it. That's the start.
That's all I need. Okay. Yeah.
So you're probably walking around your living room. Everything's fine. Playing with the kids, whatever. Talk to your wife. And then all of a sudden you look and you see the refrigerator. Uh-huh. And then that triggers...
Uh-huh.
What's the very next thing that happens once you see the refrigerator?
I get a big smile. I'm like, ooh, I know what's behind that door. Door number one.
Exactly.
That's raw cookie dough. Yeah.
So now what happens is that refrigerator door triggers what we call a strategy in NLP. So back to Mary's question about one of the recipe cards, right?
Yes.
There's a recipe card called strategies. A strategy is what you're doing internally when you're not thinking about it, whenever you do what you do.
Okay.
Say that one more time. So strategy is what you do internally when you're not thinking about whatever it is that you do. So Steve's not thinking about what he does when he's about to eat cookie dough. He just does it, right?
It's true.
Now it's you, but it's everybody, right? All of us have that thing. Most people don't think about what they're doing when they decide to hit the snooze alarm 1,600 times each morning when they sleep in. They're not thinking, oh, did I make a picture in my head of myself sleeping? And then did I say to myself, oh, man, I don't want to go to work? And then did I get a negative feeling in my gut? And how big was the feeling? No one goes through that process. They just hit the snooze and go back to bed.
Yeah.
Or they just see the fridge, get a smile, and then go eat cookie dough.
True.
Right? But here's a question for you. Think about what would it do for you if you legitimately not only stopped eating cookie dough, but you didn't want to anymore. You were just like, eh. I can take it or leave it, and I just don't care about it.
That's when he lays down in the fetal position.
In the bathroom floor.
That's what would happen right now if you quit and you didn't change your internal state.
Yeah.
Right?
I could see that.
And this is what people get. I've done so many of these things. We did this exercise. It's called Mapping Across. Go look it up on YouTube.
Mapping Across?
Mapping Across, NLP technique. Search my name, Matt Browning, and you'll probably see one of our
like
demos.
Mapping a cross? Like,
not a
like
cross.
The like, Passion of the Christ? Or are we talking like across one
no,
word?
Like a... Like mapping, a map.
Yeah, mapping across something, right?
Got it. Okay.
Like, yeah.
I was totally picturing like Mel Gibson and the Passion of the Christ. Totally different thing.
Definitely different technique. Yeah.
Got it. Sorry.
See, he just goes.
Severely different technique.
There's no helping you. You will be fat. You're never losing the 10 pounds.
Yeah, keep it if you want. I know it's comfy.
It's not
happening. You fill out your shirt. It's really good. It's great.
There's Steve. Yeah.
So check that out. If you're listening, when you get your computer, go to YouTube and look up Mapping Across NLP technique. And what you'll see is like we do this with junk food a lot. It's become kind of a famous NLP technique.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great example, a great recipe card for taking something that you like and feeling internally that you just don't like it anymore.
Mm.
I've done it with donuts with people, with Skittles, with Snicker bars, with Twix bars.
Really?
With all sorts of things. Huh. I did it reversed on myself to like Brussels sprouts. I hated Brussels sprouts and would throw up my mouth every time I saw them.
Wow.
If I smelled them, I'd like not even a chance. You look at my face and I would lose color, like physiologically.
Wait, so is that where the the hypnotism and all that.
No, that's
sort
all
of,
NLP.
That's all NLP.
Yeah. So NLP people did study hypnotists early on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people was Dr. Milton Erickson, who would do like hypnosis sessions. Really, he was just a storyteller. He would tell stories and talk to unconscious minds, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the NLP field, we're doing the same thing. I'm saying, man, how do you look at a Brussels sprout and decide it's disgusting? How do you look at an oyster? Who loves oysters?
Not me.
I learned to like them.
So you
I hated
okay.
them, and now I like them.
You hate them, now you like them.
Yeah.
Mary, you hate them.
Yeah.
Richard?
I like them.
You like them, right? They're the same damn oysters. What makes one, like the same exact oyster, what makes one person love them, one person hate them?
The horseradish.
Well, there's
right? That's it, totally.
And the Tabasco.
Yeah.
I find it's the sake is probably the best part of the oyster.
Ooh.
Isn't that how you eat oysters?
Yum.
Anyway.
Yum.
Point is,
vodka.
They're the same oyster, but one person loves them, one person hates them. They're the same exact oyster, the same taste buds. We all have the same seven taste buds in our mouths, or the seven major tastes. But you interpret that map as disgusting. You interpret that map as amazing. What makes us do that? It's mm-hmm. the map we have in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
So in the NLP field,
is that
we're basically
like synapses,
discovering the map.
Like the way they fire off for one person? And no, I don't know what I'm talking about. I just like that word.
Yeah, it's
a good word.
For 100
you
episodes,
sound really smart.
For 100 episodes, I've been trying to figure out how to get the word synapse into it. And finally, on the 102nd episode, yeah. I got the word in.
Now
okay,
try synaptic gap. That's the hardest word to say.
Synaptic gap.
I can never say it. The synaptic gap.
Oh, synaptic gap. There you go. Okay, so yes, 10 pounds.
So you have a map in your brain of
yes.
everything. This is probably the best way to describe it. The map in your brain of everything, whether it's food, what you like and what you dislike. Getting up at 6 a.m., what does that feel like to different people?
Ugh, painful.
One person feels painful.
Ugh.
One person feels like, man, that's late. I should be up at 4:30.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Mary's like, 6 o'clock? Nah, that's lazy. Steve's like, 6 o'clock? I just went to bed. Like,
right?
But when you think about the time, 6 a.m., you get a feeling inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same for everything. So here's what we need to change. There's a map of how you feel about times of day, about food you eat, even about exercise, like going to the gym, lifting weights for Mary, right? So what we need to do is we have one map, and then we can actually take a different map, right? And there's a whole strategy process we're obviously not going to get into on the radio, but like there's a whole process. I could do it for you in a second, but to describe it and teach it would take a good couple of hours probably.
Okay.
Right? But like we can take one map of why you love something, like sleeping in or what do you do instead of lifting weights, Mary?
Just walk.
Walk, right?
Yeah.
So you know that if you lift weights, it'll be better. So do you like walking?
Yeah.
You enjoy it?
Yes.
Walk inside or outside?
Outside.
Outside?
By the beach.
Do you walk on your own or with people?
With my boyfriend.
With your boyfriend?
Oh, that's fun.
Do you hold hands or do you walk side by side?
No, we're exercising.
Exercising, right? Okay, so you got the sweatbands and you're ready to go and your iPod. Okay. Do you listen to music or talk to each other?
Talk to each other.
Nice. So that's why you love it.
Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're a woman. I mean, let's right? It's not a bad thing to talk, right?
No, I'm very,
very
blushing.
Mary
shy.
Got red.
I'm very
Mary's
shy.
Blushing. No, you are not very shy.
Very blushed. But with a boyfriend, right?
Yeah. All right. So we'll have to take a little break here, and we'll continue with Mary and her blushing.
Right. You do this to me all the time.
I know. All right. So, but we are literally we're
seconds
totally,
away.
We are seconds away from revealing the secret to losing 10 pounds here on Reinvention Radio. Right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Matt Browning in the house, along with Mary Goulet-Richerte, and I am Steve Olscher. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because we're talking about NLP, and when I hear that music, I get right back in the vibe. I'm like, no matter what I'm doing, as soon as I hear that music, I'm like, okay, reinvention radio time.
And,
it's
that,
like,
and that's called an anchor.
That's an anchor right
that's
there.
That's another
anchor.
Recipe.
So an anchor, not like someone you're in a relationship with who you don't like. A different type of anchor.
Well, you could be anchored to someone you didn't like, right? You hear a song on the radio when you were breaking up, and then 10 years later, you drive down, you hear that, and you want to cry, right, Steve?
You have a camera in my car. Like, and I intentionally just play that one radio station that plays like all the love songs. I just cry like everywhere I go.
That's how it works, though.
The kids are like, you can change the channel. Like, no, I want to cry. All right, so 10 pounds.
Yeah,
we're gonna do it this episode.
Yeah, the weights.
All right, so you want to hear it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what we're gonna do.
Here it goes.
Right. I love that one. So we're talking about maps, right? So you have an unconscious map in your mind of the thing that you'd love to do, and then you also have a map or a strategy that you're not conscious of the things you don't like to do. So we're gonna take Mary and take you from walking with your boyfriend and talking and connecting and having a nice time, and you love that. You feel good when you do that, right?
Correct.
Okay. And when you think about lifting weights, what kind of picture do you get in your head?
That it's going to be hard.
And she already took a big breath and a sigh. She sat back an inch. Can't see her right now. Right? Her physiology gives us away. It's really true, right?
Yeah, it
so
is.
It's gonna be hard. What kind of picture do you get in your head when you think about lifting weights?
Let's see. Struggle.
What does the picture look like when you make a picture of lifting weights?
Well, me standing there picking up some dumbbells, not these two guys.
So you're holding dumbbells, you're holding two guys. Okay, that's terrible. Right?
Yeah, and then just having to, it seems like such a long time that you have to slowly lift and it gets boring.
Oh,
and
my
then,
gosh. Okay, why don't we just, you want to switch it real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. So have you ever bought a product with like on the back of it, there's a barcode, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when you scan the barcode, what pops up? All the information, all the price, all that kind of stuff. And what happens is there's a barcode in our brains that tell us how to feel about everything that we do. So you have a barcode, imagine, for how you can feel about lifting weights, and you have a barcode for how you feel about going for a walk with your boyfriend.
Right.
Right? Different barcodes. You scan the first one, boop, ew. You scan the second one, boop, oh, that sounds really great. I want to do that. So if we swap the bark, we don't actually swap them. Don't worry. You're not going to like hate walking with your boyfriend. It doesn't work like that.
Sorry, Dave.
Dave, she'll be okay. I promise. But we're going to take the barcode of walking and map it over or bring it over to lifting weights. So now I can't promise you're going to do it. That's up to you to decide to actually do it, right? But you will not feel the dread. You'll feel at least positive about it, and then you decide what you want to do about it. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Because ultimately, NLP is not magic, really. Like, people sell it as magic. It's not. It's up to the person to do what they're going to do. So
okay.
Try this for a second. If you're driving, do not do this, just to be clear, because I'm going to ask her to close her eyes, okay? So, Mary, you do this, and if you're sitting at home and you're hanging out and you're safe in a happy place, feel free, not one of Steve's happy places, but feel free to close your eyes and follow.
I got to get home fast.
The show's almost over. All right. So, Mary, close your eyes for a second. And again, if you're following along in a safe place, do it as well. Or listen to it, pause it, let's do it later, whatever.
Oh, you.
Please.
That's what I was going to have her do with the dumbbells. Imagine. Ooh,
no, that's a bad thing. Do not. Do
it's raining, man.
So, Mary. And only Mary, and not these other two jerks here. I want you to bring up an image of you lifting weights with your dumbbells. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Shh. This is important. Okay. And take that image and have it right up front in your mind's eye. Make sure you're looking through your own eyes, right? So you're looking through like you're the one living in that right now. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Clear the screen for a second and bring up a new image. Bring up an image of you walking with your boyfriend feeling great. Breathe that in. Notice how good it feels to be walking outside and get a picture of that. And make sure now you step out of the picture so you should see yourself, like you're looking at yourself on television.
Okay.
Got it? Okay, good. Take that image. This is really important to do it as fast as I do it. Take the image and bring it down to the lower right-hand corner of your screen in your mind's eye. So a little tiny picture of you walking along with Dave.
Got it?
Okay. And now on the big screen right in front, bring back that picture of you and the dumbbells. So what's going to happen is a big picture in front is going to be the picture of you not really enjoying, right, the dumbbell thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the lower corner, you're going to have a picture of you walking and enjoying yourself. Got it?
Got it.
Okay, cool. Now what I want you to do is as you think about the dumbbells, think about working out, big picture right in front. On the count of three, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. When I say that, you're going to have the small picture explode big and bright over the old one, and it's going to take over everything. Make sure you keep thinking to yourself, working out with dumbbells. Got it?
Okay.
Okay, working out with dumbbells. Get the old picture of the dumbbells. Bring up the new picture of walking outside in the corner. Ready? One, two, three, go. Explode it big and bright. Say to yourself, working out with dumbbells.
Working out with dumbbells.
Good. Open your eyes. Close your eyes. Bring up the old picture again of the dumbbells. Bring up the new picture, small and dark in the corner. Say to yourself, working out with dumbbells.
Working out with dumbbells.
Going to the gym.
Going to the gym.
Lifting weights.
Lifting weights.
Right? One, two, three, go. Have it explode up. Open your eyes. Close your eyes. Bring up the old picture. Bring up the new picture down in the corner.
Oh, that's so weird.
That's right. Ready? One, two. Oh, it already did it, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, do it again. One, two, three, go. Open your eyes. Close your eyes. Bring up the old picture. Bring up the new picture. We're going to do it a little faster real quick. Ready? One, two, three, go. Open your eyes. Close your eyes. Bring up the old picture in front. Bring up the new picture small in the corner. Feeling good? Say to yourself, I'm working out with dumbbells.
Working out with dumbbells.
Working out in the gym.
Working out in the gym.
Lifting some weights.
Lifting some weights.
One, two, three, go.
Oh,
lifting some weights.
Lifting some weights.
Lifting some weights.
Lifting some weights.
Good. And now, so open your eyes. Now, you could do that a few more times, but this is one of many different kind of recipe cards. That what we're doing is just we're training new neuropathways. And the neuropathway of when you imagine a picture of you walking and enjoying it, that produces positive feelings inside your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just smile, it makes you happy. So we need to find a way to map that or transfer it over to an activity that normally makes you frown.
So it was weird. I think it was the third time you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had the real feeling from walking on the beach pop up into my scenario of where I was lifting weights.
That's exactly right. Now, if you keep doing that, here's the coolest thing. Now you translate it to real behavior. So today's Thursday as we're recording this. Tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday. So now in the next 3 days, if you choose to do this, it's up to you. But you got to cement that in real life now. So you go to the gym and you may or may not want to initially at some point, but you will feel more positive about it. And at some point between deciding to go and actually lifting weights, you will begin to feel the same as you felt when you're walking. And then all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, this is so much fun.
And by the way, you're looking great, Mary.
Yeah.
You look as if you lost like 10 pounds.
That's right. And you'll feel like that too. Feel like that too.
Oh, man. All right. That's
smart,
funny.
Alec.
Yeah.
So that's some old school, new school NLP, but that's just a fun way to, you know, just shift
something.
Yeah,
it was cool. Yeah.
So just so I'm clear here, would you kind of say that you might be reinventing NLP? Would that...
I mean, that's a great way to put it, Steve.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. And so NLPspeaking.com. Right? Best place for people to find out more information about you, Matt Browning. Yes?
Yeah, cheap plug. Thank you so much.
Cheap plug. NLPspeaking.com. Very cool. All right. For those who need one quick little final tip, what's an exercise or something they can do next time maybe they meditate or next time they're in their car or something like that? If they want to change their behavior, like if I want to stop smoking so much weed, which I don't, but if I wanted, hypothetically, to stop smoking so much weed, like what's one of the things I could do?
I mean, I could just do what I did with Mary.
The picture thingy.
And you would end up not wanting to anymore, even though you feel like you want to, and then you're like, damn it, Matt.
Right.
That's fine.
All right.
But could I say this real
quick? Yeah, please.
Okay. So when you said reinventing NLP, I want to say for anyone who actually knows NLP or has heard of it or something, it sometimes there's this weird bad rap. I remember talking to your friend Alex Mendozian, right? He spoke at one of our events recently, about a month ago in Orange County, and he had the funniest line. He was like, you know, I'm so sick of so many of these NLP people. I feel like, because, you know, we're all about intention and about effective communication and influence. And he's like, man, I feel like I'm talking to an NLP person and they're reloading as I'm talking, right? Like he's saying something and they're just like in their head thinking about what pattern they're going to do next. And I want to say, like, talk about a need for reinvention.
Yeah.
Today's NLP, what we're using nowadays, 2016, on stage, right, when I run our live events or when we're doing coaching or one-on-one work, is not what it used to be, right? We're not trying to reload as you're working. It's about caring for people, understanding what people need and how to influence and communicate even more effectively.
Nice.
So there's a ton of that on NLPspeaking.com about me using NLP on stage. Sweet. Or using NLP in communication.
All right, Matt Browning, very cool having you here in studio. Mary Goulet, Rich
awesome.
Ote, I'm
Thank
Steve Olscher. It's been just an awesome, good time. I learn something new all the time. All right, for those who are rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast, we really do appreciate the love. We will talk to you next time on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.